You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And this is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and welcome to my couch. This is the place where you can call in and ask questions to my special guests on the air. Also, we check out some of the latest news and entertainment stories, put a little psychological spin on what's going on. And also, what we do is help you out with problems and, you know, questions you may have. I just give advice, you know. We don't have a therapeutic relationship, you and I, but... Try to help you out here on the couch with Dr. Michelle. As always, I have a great guest who's going to be helping you out. You're going to love to pick up her book as well. You know, a lot of companies, businesses, and of course schools, of course, have used IQ. We've all heard of the IQ intelligence tests, right? Forever. I mean, for decades, they've been a way of recruiting and keeping the best and the brightest employees and top people. Until the breakthrough concept of emotional intelligence. You guys hear of the EQ test? Did you hear about that? Well, we're going to talk about that as well. And I'm so glad they came out with that because I have a much higher EQ than an IQ. And many of us do. Now there's a new test that's available, and it's called the SQ21, or the Spiritual Quotient Test. What does that mean? How can you develop your inner spiritual intelligence? Now, all you guys out there who are listening and going, oh, no, I'm not into religion today. You're not talking about religion. We're talking about different strengths within you that you may need to have in being out there socially in the world in a business, whether you're looking for great relationships. In other words, what you have in your heart, what you have to offer to others is what it's all about, what people are going to pick up on. And that will make you much more successful in life, in whatever you're attempting to succeed in. So let's get with it. You're going to find out soon all the answers to these and a lot more questions, because my special guest today is Cindy Wigglesworth. She's author of the book SQ21, The 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. Now, let me just introduce Cindy by saying that she founded her own company a long time ago, about 12 years ago. It's called Deep Change. And this is after working in human resources management with ExxonMobil. She knows her stuff. And she's on the working council of the Tyson Center for Faith and Spirituality in the workplace. This is all important stuff, folks, in the workplace. And also has served on the board of the International Center for Spirit and Work. And the list goes on, but I'm going to get right to it and bring you up and introduce you. Hey, Cindy, nice to have you with me today.
Thanks, Dr. Michelle. It's great to be here.
Oh, listen, your book, what a great and interesting. What I really liked about it, Cindy, is that it's all so empirical. It's scientifically tested. So,
yes, thank you. My Vulcan came out.
Your Vulcan. That's right. No, that's right. I love it. Mr. Spock, right?
Exactly. I'm a huge Star Trek geek.
Oh, me too. We'll talk later. You and I'll talk later, girl.
Okay.
But I love the concept of spiritual intelligence. So, you know, it's a very scientific test. And I think a lot of people can really benefit by it. You know, I think everybody knows what an IQ test is. We've been having them for years. Mm-hmm. And we have an emotional quotient test, which we'll talk about. And now your test, which really profoundly is another angle to testing what's going on inside a person as well. Tell the audience, what were some of the teachings and incidences in your life that sort of inspired you to write this, the 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence?
Right. I like to kind of give the short version of the story as saying I came out of college hyper-educated.
Wow.
I went to Duke University, you know, a lot of really smart people there. I came out of there with good grades. I was very impressed with my own IQ. And, you know, I cringe when I think about my early meetings at Exxon when I would be sitting in the room with much more senior people and I had this little arrogant 20-something attitude about how smart I was and how I had the answers to their problems.
Right.
God, I wish I could just take back some of what I said.
Right. I hear you,
Yeah, the real world confronts you when you get out of college or out of high school and out of your job training program and you get into real workplaces where you're interacting with real people,
right.
All of a sudden it's not just IQ that's required for you to get things done, to be successful, to be accepted. And of course we get married or have relationships, we have kids, and all of those are means by which we learn the inadequacy of IQ as an intelligence to solve all problems.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So you said... Go ahead. No, you go, Cindy. You're in the middle of it.
Well, I got enough feedback from my supervisors the first few years about my interpersonal skills that I decided I probably did need to work on that.
Yeah.
And with some supportive trainers, and I had a wonderful therapist at the time, you know, I slowly developed what we would now call EQ or emotional intelligence.
That's great.
We didn't have Daniel Goleman's work yet back then.
Aha. That's right. So, you know, you had to sort of learn on your own and get it. But, you know, I think it is wonderful to develop these things. But, Cindy, and I'm not just saying this, you sound like you always had within you, you know, the ability to open up and have a great social, you know, quotient. You sound like a really nice, easy to talk to person, or you wouldn't have been hired there.
Well,
you know,
thank you.
No,
yeah, I guess I did something well enough in the interview process.
There you go. There you go. And that's really important.
Yes.
So.
But, you know, I had a lot I needed to learn.
Yeah.
And what I found was that as I learned to listen better, as I really learned to read people more clearly, both what they were saying and what they were not saying,
yes,
that I became far more effective. You know, this EQ stuff really works.
Right, right.
And then Daniel Goleman's book came out, and I just fell in love with the Richard Boyatzis Daniel Goleman model of 18 skills, you know, and I thought, God, this is so rich. You know, this is like a way I can explain why emotions matter in an engineering company.
Wow. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So you did it. So you figured
well,
I
got
out.
Certified as soon as I found out about it because I just thought this stuff is brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what had been percolating at the same time for years was that I had started doing some spiritual work independent of the workplace.
Interesting.
Attending workshops, reading books.
Yes.
And I found it was turning me into a different kind of a leader.
Hmm. And how was that? How did you become a different kind of leader?
Well, in hindsight, you can often see these things better, but what I would say was happening was, is I was learning to not take myself so seriously.
Right, right.
Specifically, what in the spiritual world we would call our ego. Now, I know that word has specific meaning within psychology, and so I try to find this marriage between the psychological world and the spiritual world what is an ego, right?
Right.
So I don't demonize the ego, but the way I look at it is our ego responses tend to have a lot of limbic system juice to them.
Well put. You know what?
From now on, fight or flight stuff.
I'm going to blame it on the limbic juice. When I get upset with somebody, it's my limbic juice. It's coming out. That's great. I love that.
And of course, that great phrase that Goleman came up with, the amygdala hijack, you know.
There you go. That's right. The rage spot.
Yeah.
It's hijacking my mouth, and I don't know how to deal with it. That's cool. I really like that.
Yeah. And so if we think about the noblest aspirations of ourselves and we identify the heroes that we admire, Nelson Mandela, Gandhi, the Dalai Lama, Mother Teresa, when I ask people to name the folks they look to as exemplars of
yes.
spiritual leadership, and they name those kind of people, and then they describe the character traits and the skills they possess, there's clearly something that's one step past EQ.
Right. And the clear idea of that is there's characteristics, there's moral qualities, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's loving and giving qualities that these individuals
yes.
have that are angelic, you know, to say the
yeah.
least. Yeah.
You know, we might call them saintly, but as soon as we put that label on them, we say, that's not me.
Right.
And what I'm trying to find is the bridge between the saint that I might be able to get a little bit close to and the Cindy I am today. And how do I build a bridge that even takes me a little bit in that direction?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That makes a lot of sense. It really does. And you're not talking about religion. I want to reiterate that to my listeners out there who just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio. By the way, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, author Cindy Wigglesworth. Her book is SQ21, The 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence, kind of like measuring IQ and emotional intelligence, but actually a lot different. But these are qualities also that are, I think, are very important in high functioning in the world and being successful at whatever you want to do, you know. So let's talk about, the difference between, well, everybody knows what an IQ test is, but maybe we can just brush over that. But I don't think a lot of people know what an emotional intelligence test measures, and how do those compare with your spiritual intelligence test?
Fabulous question.
Thanks.
IQ tends to measure your mathematical skills, your language or linguistic skills, like if you remember those sentences where you had to find what was wrong with the sentence,
right.
And your general problem solving. You know, so word questions, spatial relationships, things like that.
Yep.
Those are all great skills. I'm a huge fan of IQ. Remember,
yes.
that was my leading strength.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, IQ alone doesn't solve all the problems. So what's the next intelligence to look at? Emotional intelligence, the model I use, the Goleman-Biotis model, has 18 skills. Mm. And they're divided into four quadrants.
Right.
The first one is self-awareness.
Aha.
So for the most difficult beginning point is in this quadrant, which is emotional self-awareness.
Yes.
Can you name your emotions while you're having them?
Mm.
And do you understand what triggered them?
Yeah. Wow. Is that... That there's my therapy right there. Thank you, Cindy.
Well, I was just going to say that sends a lot of people right to you.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah.
And that's actually where I began the journey was
yes.
with my first therapist. And I would go in and, you know, he would say, what happened this week? And I would tell him. And he would say, well, how do you feel about that? Mm-hmm. And my reply would be, I think blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And he would just smile at me and say, I didn't ask you what you thought, Cindy. I asked you what you felt.
Mm-hmm.
At which point I would get very confused and say, I don't think I have any feelings about that.
Yeah, exactly. Huh? Yeah. How do you feel about that?
I don't know.
I
figured out pretty quickly this was going to be a weekly test.
There you go. I'm a thinker. I'm analyzing. I don't feel. I don't allow myself to feel.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So I actually built myself a spreadsheet back in the early days of PCs and Lotus spreadsheets.
There you go.
And I
there
put every emotions word I could find in there, alphabetized that sucker, and circled words before I went to my therapy sessions.
Oh, you are so funny. I love that. That is so cool. That's terrific.
Yeah. But it turns out, years later, I went to an emotional intelligence conference in Chicago. Goleman was there, Boyatzis, all the big names. Mm-hmm. And this became a really hot topic of conversation and was the primary exercise that was being used at American Express Financial Services
really?
To help people start the journey because people can't name their emotions.
Right.
So they actually had a list of emotions that they handed out to their employees to have them develop a vocabulary.
Exactly. Sounds like those little tests they give for kids, you know, where they have the little smiley face and then the frown and then the worried face and then, you know.
Oh, those are great charts. I recommend those all the time when parents say, "What can I do for my kids?" Get one of those wall charts.
Yeah, exactly. So they did that. The American Express Company did that for folks.
American Express Financial Services really pioneered some cool stuff.
Wow, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was to help the employees sort of bring out their feelings and yet not project their anger from nasty customers back onto those customers or others.
Exactly. So you have to understand your own internal wiring before you build empathy with others, which is step two in this process. So you start learning how to name your emotions. Then you can get better at anticipating and understanding the emotions that you're experiencing from other people.
Yeah.
The combination of that enables you to manage yourself more appropriately and have better interpersonal skills.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the big gift, was the causal relationship between self-understanding and dealing well with other beings.
Right. Wow. Is that true? By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here and my special guest, Cindy Wigglesworth. She's the author of the new book. It's called SQ21, The 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. And again, this is not a religious book. It's kind of trying to help you figure out how high is your spiritual intelligence in terms of being out there in the world. What characteristics do you share with some of those spiritual leaders, not religious leaders, some of the wonderful, giving, loving characteristics? Cindy, we're going to take a quick break and hear from my sponsor, and we'll be right back right after this message. This is Dr. Michelle, and I'm proud to welcome my new sponsor, eSocialCalendar.com, because they're the company who brings online dating to reality by taking the pressure out of your first date, as well as the mystery out of online dating, by meeting that special someone in an enjoyable and comfortable group setting. Don't miss the opportunity to meet and mingle at eSocialCalendar.com's upcoming Singles Spooktacular Halloween Party, happening on Saturday, October 27th at the Newport Beach Marriott at 900 Newport Center Drive. Doors open at 7 p.m. Let eSocialCalendar.com help you find that special someone and have a spooktacular time. Register now at eSocialCalendar.com. Check out their website. And you are on the couch with Dr. Michelle. I'm happy to welcome one of my latest sponsors, eSocialCalendar.com, to the couch family here. We're back with Cindy Wigglesworth, my special guest, author of SQ21. The book is called The 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. And why is measuring spiritual intelligence so important? And who are some of the folks who can benefit? I mean, I know we briefly talked about some of the companies who've considered, you know, certain types of tests, measuring, you know, character, things like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's important to measure from my standpoint so that you can plan.
Mm-hmm.
I am a structured thinker, and when I started this process of my spiritual work, I felt lost. You know, you could go into these libraries and into the bookstores, and you would see shelves and shelves and shelves of books.
Right.
No idea how to prioritize what would be helpful.
Exactly. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah. And so being a person who likes order and structure in my life, I kept looking for someone who had done what I actually ended up doing, because I couldn't find what I needed.
Right.
I realized, you know, maybe it was my work to do in the world.
Sure.
And that's how this all started.
Sure.
So the assessment process is not designed to, you know, sort of be an admissions process for anything. I don't authorize this tool for pre-employment admission. It is for personal development, whether in your work setting or your home setting or both. The goal is to self-assess, because you're answering these questions, and then the system will compute, based on how you answered the questions, what your probable skill set is on these 21 skills on a range of possible scores from 0 to 5.
Yeah.
How strong are you on each of these 21 skills?
Hmm. That's so cool. It's a great idea.
And then you get a paragraph of ideas. You know, so it says, here are the things you're already good at.
Right.
Here would be the next step you might want to think about.
Wow. That's so interesting. You know, you divide the SQ21 test in the skills. We were just briefly talking about four quadrants. Let's talk about the first one. You say, know thyself. Now, what the heck does that mean? I mean, we kind of know what that means, but what does that really mean, and why is this so important?
To the degree we understand ourselves and bring our interior into our conscious awareness, we have the potential to make different choices.
Hmm.
prior to that, we're operating on habit. And habit is programming we've been handed by our family, by our schooling, by our culture. And it may not serve us. And I'm sure as a therapist, you see gazillions of examples of bad programming from people's childhood where that defense mechanism is actually getting in the way now.
That's right. I mean, they use it as a coping mechanism growing up, and it's called survival, the personality styles we all adopt in order to kind of fit in, you know, to our family and how we're perceived and all. But yeah, that's exactly right. When we get older and we start getting out into the world of work and socialization, they don't serve us pretty well, some of those more self-destructive personality characteristics.
Yes, and even if they serve us in some small way, they deprive us in another way. Mm-hmm. So they may keep you safe, but they make you lonely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they may keep you safe, but they steal all your joy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So to me, spiritual intelligence is the step that really brings us into our potential to be fully human, to be our optimal selves. And that's going to require releasing some habit patterns that don't serve us.
Mm-hmm.
So this quadrant is about really getting clear, what is my purpose in life? Have I really spent time articulating that? You know, I can't get there if I don't know where I'm headed.
Wow.
Have I thought about my values, and have I ranked them so that I know that family is ahead of work? Or maybe it's not. Maybe work trumps family. But be congruent with your values and communicate them to other people so they know what they're getting.
Right.
And then this big skill in this quadrant is being aware of the voice of what we would call the ego in spiritual literature and the higher self voice, or the nobler self, if you prefer that language. Yeah. Now, this is where that whole faith neutral, not religious thing comes in, because we worked really hard with this language to create secular friendly and faith neutral languaging.
Yes. Yeah.
So if someone's an atheist, I've worked with communist atheists who were raised in China and absolutely did not believe in God.
Right, right.
And they would say to me, do I have to believe in God in order to develop my SQ? Say, absolutely not. Do you believe you have a higher self? Yes, that's all I need.
Yes. In other words, a higher self, when you try to know thyself, do you believe within you that you have these characteristics that have been associated rather with, like you said, more so-called spiritual figures who are, you know, blessings to humans, you know, Mother Teresa.
Yes, so articulating who your heroes are become really important. And they don't have to be religious figures. They can be my Uncle Joe, who was just such a fantastic, generous person. And so then I'll say, great, tell me about the characteristics of Joe you would like to have more of.
Oh, that's cool.
And my basic belief is that's your higher self speaking to you.
Wow. I agree. It makes a lot of sense. So to know yourself is also to come to terms with how the way you've been operating in the past and being truthful, you know, about that within yourself. It ain't working that much anymore. A lot of the ways you're behaving and you know, what could you do possibly, you know, to change? And this is where the introspection comes, like you talked about in therapy, where people can say, wow, what I'm trying to know myself. What has happened to make me behave this way? And then the next step is to try and make some changes on that, right?
Yeah, so living from the voice of your higher self as opposed to living from the habituated behaviors of your defense systems that are embodied in this less mature ego self.
Yeah.
And so that's a really important part of the whole equation, because SQ focuses on behaviors, not beliefs. And this is a really helpful distinction around the issue of, is it religious or not? It's religion friendly, so you can bring your religion to it. But we're not interested in measuring your beliefs as much as we want to get to your behaviors.
Wow. That is so,
so are you showing up as compassion and wisdom and peace in your daily life? That's the outcome we're seeking.
Here's just an off question that I thought of. Some, you know, psychotherapists believe that, well, you know, if you think a certain way, you'll tend to act that certain way. Others say if you act, you will begin to think. What do you think about that? People who may want to have more compassion in their lives and they're not feeling it.
Yes.
if they think it because they're just angry people, or they've been damaged or abused, and they're just very skeptical about others. Do you think they can think?
I think you can behave your way into thinking differently, and you can think your way into behaving differently. So I think it's a both and. And I'm all for bringing every tool that's going to help me to the party.
Boy, is that true. Absolutely. Every tool. And your book, by the way, describes all these different tools that you can use to improve your SQ 21.
Yes, I have a 9-step process that I developed for myself. I mean, they say you teach what you need to learn, right? And this is what I've always needed to learn.
Yep.
So I developed a 9-step secular process that anybody can use to help shift how they're seeing their life, and it includes a skill that I'm sure you use a lot, which is reframing.
That's true.
Very powerful cognitive behavioral therapy addition to the toolkit.
And, you know, I don't think a lot of people may know what reframing means. So can you explain that?
The simplest explanation I know is I sometimes show a picture of a window.
Yeah.
And you're looking out the window and you're seeing a winter scene. And I actually have a winter scene in the background. And there's two little cardinals sitting in the tree, and there's snow, and there's a building in the far background. And I say, what do you see? And they say, well, it's winter, there's snow, there's two birds, so it's probably spring. And I have people do all this sort of association of, what do you think about that?
Right.
Oh, I'm inside with a good book and hot chocolate, and it's great. You know, so you get this whole story around what they're seeing.
Yeah.
Then I pull the window frame back to allow one additional piece of information. And that piece of information is there's flames shooting out of the building in the background.
Oh, my gosh. Woo! Wow.
Now what do you see?
Yes.
My God, call 911. That house is on fire.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool. No, that's right.
So one piece of information can completely shatter the story you've been telling about something.
Yes, it's
so
true.
So I hold it to be true that every other person's behavior makes sense from inside of their perspective.
Yeah, it's so true.
It is my challenge, if I'm going to live with spiritual intelligence, meaning compassion and wisdom, to get past the drama story I'm telling where I'm busy judging them for being wrong, and instead expand the window frame to allow in additional information what must be going on in their lives that this is a good idea for them.
Yes. Or we don't know what might be going on in their lives, nor can we assume, you know, what's going on. And we may not know what went on earlier in their lives. So we have to allow sometimes, you know.
And since that person may not be willing to share with us what's going on, how do you shift your heart around it so that you can get out of being upset, angry, judgmental, whatever it is? I have people write the story, and I say, write it from your perspective. What would have to be going on in your life for you to be doing that very behavior that you are judging right now?
Wow. That's really self-introspection.
it's very powerful, and it's very difficult for the ego to do that exercise because the ego arises immediately and says, I would never do that.
That's right. We all do that. We all do that. Yeah, but you know what? If you were in this situation, you might do that. You might act out, or you might make a poor judgment that might hurt someone else or whatever.
It's the most powerful exercise I do in my workshops because if you do it with a group of people, even if there are people in the room who are not getting the exercise, somebody in the room is getting it.
Oh, boy.
And I have people volunteer to share their stories. One of the funnier things that we've had happen, because I have this exercise I have that nurses, I work with a lot of hospitals, do, and it's like one nurse has done X to this other nurse, and why do you think that nurse, what justification might she have for that? Well, the number one story that comes up is, well, you know, I've been sleeping with her husband, so she's mad at me.
you think? Oh, boy.
It's so funny. It's like they start writing soap opera scripts, you know.
But
then they laugh. And I find that when you really laugh, it's hard to be angry at the same time.
It's true. It's hard.
So that's shift number one. But the most powerful stories are when someone stands up and tells a story that puts the room in tears.
And they go,
oh, my God, of course that would make sense. I would, too, think that was a good idea had I just lived through that experience. When you cry with compassion, the anger is just gone. It's amazing.
So true. It's so true. You cannot do both at one time. Although they say the root of anger is pain. If we can get down to that pain and we're crying, it's hard to be angry. You're so right, Cindy. You're so right. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And my special guest today, Cindy Wigglesworth, she's the author of the book SQ21, The 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. This is measuring spiritual intelligence, and we're talking about what that means. Not religious, folks, not religious, but characteristics that you may have that will really help you be more successful in your life in all areas. And boy, wouldn't it be cool if they really made this test mandatory? In certain companies, wouldn't this be lovely?
It would be lovely to have it generally available. Mm-hmm. I would want to attract people into it as opposed to shoving it down their throats. Because my general experience is that you get an adverse ego pushback as soon as you make something mandatory. But we have tried making it mandatory in some groups I've been in, and I'm very careful when we do that to say, you know, if you have any concerns, I want you to speak to me. Here's the basis. It's faith neutral. It's faith friendly. This result is yours. It is not going to be shared with anybody else. And, you know, keep all the privacy concerns addressed because fear is an understandable reaction.
Yeah, it sure is. You know, we're shoved those IQ tests down us always. And, you know, I think on some level we feel less than because as we get older and we're going into high school and college and beyond, you know, there's always our fellow students who say, you know, my IQ is 120. I'm in Mensa. I have such high IQ. And we all get defensive if we're not way, way up there. But, you know, it's sort of a... It kind of makes people feel a little less than, I think, when they don't measure up, and that's the key word is measure up. And
emotional. I think there's an important distinction between IQ and EQ and SQ. IQ has apparently some nature-nurture combo going on where there seems to be genetic potential connections to, like, your parents gave you this potential.
Right.
EQ and SQ are quite different. They are skill sets that everybody can learn. Which is a big fear reducer when you tell people that. It's like we're all starting at zero on all 21 skills because you do not pop out of the womb knowing how to do any of this.
Boy, is that true. That's so true, Cindy. And, you know, they are. They're skill sets, and that's exactly what I really like about your book, SQ21, is that you offer suggestions, ideas, teachings, ways that people can improve their, you know, skill set emotionally and spiritually as well, so that they'll be just better people in general. And I think people who learn to have higher emotional skills and spiritual skills are happier people.
We have better coping skills, and you know the valiance of resilience when have hard times happen, which everybody has. Can you bounce back?
Exactly. That's the definition of functioning, and you know, for in the DSM, you know, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual for Mental Disorders. I mean, it's how are you functioning in the world? How are you bouncing back? You know, and they have this global assessment of functioning, which you probably know about. It says from 100 goes down to 1. How are you functioning in the world? Are you socializing somewhat? Are you able to work? Are you, and this is not talking about disabilities, you know, are you trying the best you can to function in the world? And, you know, these are all really important things that you can learn to do with any kind of modeling and cognitive behavioral therapy and emotional insight therapy as well. You know, so this is beautiful. And you offer these things in your book, which I really like. So this is not only an IQ or spiritual intelligence testing book. This is also a psychologically oriented book that can help people out.
Absolutely.
I'm
all about taking a practical next step. Whether you even take the assessment, you can still follow the advice and take your next step.
Yeah, so true. Cindy, in your second set of skills, you talk about people trying to define in your book how they know the world. What does that mean? Why is that so important?
Humility is a very powerful skill, and I find the skills of Quadrant 2 can really help with our ability to get a little bit outside of our own perspective and be open to the perspectives of others. One of the skills in this quadrant is your ability to be aware of the worldviews of other people. So in Quadrant 1, can you be aware of your own worldview? In Quadrant 2, can you be aware of the worldviews of others? Mm-hmm. And those two skills are connected. I've found, because I was raised as an expatriate kid, that I often didn't see what the American perspective was that I had been habituated into until I went into a different culture and somebody looked at me and went, you believe what?
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Well.
Yes, exactly. And I use as an example in my workshops the social distance norms of a culture, which are usually trained into us without ever being explicitly taught. So in the United States, the average social distance nose-to-nose for two people who are just meeting at a cocktail party and are having a conversation is roughly 18 inches or one arm's length. Hmm. So if you get too close, people will start backing up.
Right.
Yeah. Now, in most other cultures on the planet, they have closer social distance.
Yes, they do. It's just, what is that? Is that safety? Is that just, or it's just learned behaviors? We're just okay.
I believe it's a learned behavior using what they call implicit learning as opposed to explicit learning. In other words, it's been modeled for us since childhood that when we got too close, somebody made us stand further back.
That's
and we notice that all adults that we see are standing a certain distance apart. So we don't even really have, we haven't talked about it. It's not on a blackboard somewhere.
Right.
It's not part of your homework.
Yeah.
You just absorb it as part of your culture.
Yeah.
Then you go to a different culture where the social norm is 6 inches.
Wow.
And somebody gets that close and it triggers anxiety.
Sure.
You're like, why is this person getting in my space?
Right. Exactly.
Then we back up. Right,
right? We do. Now, does the person from the culture who's used to being 6 inches away when they talk to someone, are they offended?
Of course.
Yeah.
So we're offended because they've come inside our space, and they're offended because we keep backing away, and they're interpreting it as we don't like them, we're unfriendly, you know, they're telling their own story. The power of these two skills together is to realize we're making most of this up.
Right, right. That's so true. Fascinating. It is. We're making it up. So it's really just a matter of what we're used to when we're born and what we're taught, and as opposed to the other cultures, you know. And also if we travel, because we don't want to freak out people in our culture and say, you know, I've decided that it's okay for me to stand 6 inches apart from someone. When we do travel and we are used to more European and other cultures who stand very closely when they speak, then we can apply that, just learning. You know.
Yes, that's part of the repatriation challenge when people come back to North America, because this is true, I think, also in Canada. When they come back to North America from expatriate assignments, they are often told they're too aggressive because they're getting in people's face.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting. Also, you talk about, as one of the, you know, skills in the four quadrants, you talk about people trying to realize their self-mastery. Now, that sounds kind of heavy for the average person.
It does. And when we, let's back out to the heroes that often get mentioned, you know, people like Gandhi, for example, or Buddha, or Jesus, or Muhammad, or, you know, many of the spiritual leaders, Mother Teresa, they had a lot of self-control. And this sort of higher self, ego self mastery is what was showing up, because their ego was no longer running the show. They were able to be calmly present to stuff that most of us would not be calmly present to. That's where we're driving, is this ability to be a spiritual presence, a compassionate, wise, and peaceful, centered person in the midst of crazy.
Yes.
Every company I work with has crazy going on.
Yes. They sure do. And I think also, you know, Cindy, every situation and environment, everything we go put ourselves into in a physical sense, like the bank or the market, or there's always crazy energy. There's always a lot of chaos. Someone's in a bad mood and, you know, whatever. But there are always situations. And like you said, especially in a lot of companies, there's egos involved and there's needs and there's defense mechanisms, and then there's
and
the
drama, drama.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So my choice, if I want to live a more joyful life, is to not allow my ego to take me into the story that it used to take me into. Mm-hmm. Standing in the grocery store in line, it's the express checkout lane. It clearly says 12 items. It clearly says no checks accepted or whatever. Mm-hmm. And somebody is in front of you with 25 items in their basket and they're writing a check.
Right. Correct.
That's the daily spiritual weightlifting of do you mean it? Do you really want to develop your SQ or do you prefer your drama?
Right. And it's
respect. Prefer your drama, go for it, but it
there
will steal the joy from your life.
It will. People don't want to be around other people like that. People will cause chaos and create drama to which you can respond back to them and say, nah, I got to rise out of them, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, so I practice that exercise I told you about where I say, what would be going on in my life right now that I would be in the express checkout lane with too many items in the basket and writing a check? And this is actually one of the scenarios we do in the workshop.
Sure.
And people have come up with, I don't read English. I have someone at the hospital. I've got to get the groceries home to the kids so they can eat, and I've got to get to the hospital.
There you go.
You know, they come up with lots of stories about why might I be the one doing this.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if any of those stories are true. The person in front of you might be a selfish jerk, but it's not the only option.
Right. It's so true.
And the story, he's a selfish jerk, is stealing my peace. So I'm going to replace that story.
That's right. And, you know, I have a Zen author who comes on frequently on the show. She's been practicing Zen. She still calls herself a student, but she's been hardcore for 30 years. And one of her favorite words that she always says is allow. Allow.
Mm.
And I think that's such a key word when it comes to a characteristic of all those spiritual leaders we've had. And you know, wonderful figures in our lives, political leaders, spiritual leaders, business leaders, you know, it's allow.
Yes,
allow.
The skill of surrender is sometimes called to what you can't control.
Boy, is that true. Now, in your fourth quadrant within your 21 skills that measure spiritual intelligence, you talk about understanding what social mastery and spiritual presence, you know, is and how that pulls together all the skills of SQ. What do you mean by that?
The definition of spiritual intelligence is the ability to behave with wisdom and compassion while maintaining inner and outer peace regardless of the circumstance. So ultimately that's what I'm talking about, that you are making compassionate and wise decisions, meaning you're bringing the best of your head and the best of your heart to your decision making.
Right.
So IQ plus EQ plus SQ makes good decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Being a calming and healing presence, which means you have such mastery of your limbic system and your physical presence that you being in the room de-escalates the conflict.
Wow. So it's your basically your energy as well.
Your energy through limbic resonance is affecting everybody in the room.
Wow. I love limbic resonance. I'm writing that down right now. I'm going to use that. Can I use that, Cindy, in my therapeutic sessions?
Absolutely. That's a research term. In fact, if you look out there, there is research about this phenomenon of limbic resonance where if you and I are in a room together, we're sitting within a certain distance, we're going to calibrate pulses, we're going to calibrate our blood pressure, and we're going to calibrate our respiration to come more closely together. We do the same with our emotional states.
Wow. It's like our inner thermostat sort of judging if it's okay or not, how it feels. And these are all on a autonomic kind of level, right? And maybe subconscious?
Happening below the level of our conscious awareness and bringing it to consciousness. As a good facilitator, I learned this years ago, of someone who was training me said, watch your body. It's bringing you information. So when I started feeling fatigue, I would look around the room and I would realize I was picking up on the fatigue in the room.
Boy.
Yeah. So it's a powerful source.
Yes. And you know, all of these, you know, this information we get and all of these books we read on energy, it can be calibrated. It can be measured. This is real stuff.
Yeah.
This is not, you know, there's energy.
No.
I'm putting a protective aura around my... No, this is real stuff that's going on in the unseen, in physics, that we really can't.
Yes, and in medicine, we can measure the side effects of this. You know, just because we can't perceive something directly yet doesn't mean it doesn't exist. Like, x-rays existed before we could detect them, which is actually one of the spiritual intelligence skills in the second quadrant, is understanding your human perceptual mechanisms are limited, but don't let your human limits limit your understanding of what is true.
Wow. That is so good. That's so true. By the way,
so this phenomenon of resonance can be measured now, which is pretty cool.
It is really cool. It's the real deal, too. If you just tuned in here on the couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today is Cindy Wigglesworth. She's the author of a new book. It's SQ21, and what that means is it's the 21 skills of spiritual intelligence. You know, there's such a thing as IQ and EQ. That's emotional intelligence, folks. And now there's SQ, which measures so many different things. It's not religious, but more measuring your character, moral beliefs, what you give to others, how you treat yourself and others in this world, respect, love, all those qualities that we associate with higher spiritual beings, right, Cindy?
Absolutely. You know, are you showing up with authenticity, courage, compassion? These are the kind of words that you use to describe people who have high spiritual intelligence. So that's where we're going.
Cool. If somebody were to get your book, what advice would you give them before they started opening up and reading it in terms of, okay, this is, get ready for this experience because it's going to help you. What?
I would say the first thing to do is reflect on the you you would like to become. Because we have within us, I believe, an interior compass or a guide that's pointing to our own true north of what is my ultimate best self. And as you feel the pull of that ultimate best that I could be, and look to your heroes to help you see that, the people you admire, and they could be fictional characters, it could be Yoda. Who do you admire? And imagine that it's possible you could be just a little bit more like that. That will set a nice intention for reading the book.
That's a perfect way to put it. Cindy, how can people get a hold of your book and find out more about you?
Fabulous. The book website is sq21book.com, and there are click-to-buy buttons for online bookstores there. It is available through the major online bookstores, and there's a free gift described on that webpage. If you buy on October 9th, you can get a free partial SQ assessment, so you can put your toe in the water very safely and just find out, you know, for the first quadrant only, you know, how would I assess myself? It is a self-assessment.
That's great. Cindy, thank you so much. We're running out of time here, but I want to thank you so much for being a great guest. And the book is wonderful. It really will help people get some kind of a measurement on who they are within themselves.
And thank you, Dr. Michelle. You're doing great work, too. Thank you for having me as a guest.
My pleasure. Keep up the good work, and we'll keep in touch, and you and I will catch up on our Star Trek memorabilia.
That would be great.
Isn't that scary? You and I are Trekkers. We call them Trekkers now, by the way, folks.
And I even went to a conference. I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, cool. Did you wear a costume, Cindy?
I did.
Ooh, who were you? I have to know.
I went as Guinan, the Whoopi Goldberg character from The Next Generation.
Oh, that's cool. That's a perfect... I love her outfits, too. They're so cool.
Me, too. And they're not too tight, which is also really important.
You're so funny. Cindy, all the best to you. Thanks a million for being such a great guest.
Thank you.
All right. Take good care now.
Bye.
Okay. My guest again, Cindy Wigglesworth, author of the book SQ21, The 21 Skills of Spiritual Intelligence. Measure where you're at in the world and what's going on with you morally and inside and how you treat others and all those wonderful skills. And before we leave, I just want to say that I'm proud to welcome my new sponsor, esocialcalendar.com. I have an important announcement for all my single listeners out there. Let me ask you a question quickly. How many of you are tired of online dating? Well, I want to introduce a new dating service that brings online dating to a reality. It's called esocialcalendar.com. You can finally find that special someone with whom you have true interests in common. Events and activities range from mixers, sporting events, outdoor adventures, a whole lot more. If you go onto their website, you'll see a bunch of people sitting on a sailboat, big sailboat, laughing and having a wonderful time. And all of these meetings are in a group setting. Make it comfortable. And I can't believe somebody found the way to take the mystery out of online dating and take the pressure out of your first date. Membership is 100% free right now, so go to esocialcalendar.com and sign up now. Meet naturally with esocialcalendar.com, bringing online dating to reality. All right, you can stay on the couch if you like, but it's time for Dr. Michelle to get off my couch and move on. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, because that means you'll be great for other people, and that's the way it works, you see. Thanks for joining me today. Next week, another incredible author helping you with your relationships and your self-esteem. Have a great day. Bye-bye. Flashing rays are coming by.